League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. You're right, John.
Yes, I'm good, thank you.
Do you know what? We talk about China a lot because, you know, hugely influential, impactful when it comes to resources. Because they gobble up half the world's resources, pretty much, and the slowdown, you know, the great unlock from COVID and the resurgence of the economy hasn't happened. I mean, thinking, why hasn't it happened? There's something wrong here. And we realise that, you know, this slow-motion car crash has been happening for 2 years in the property sector. Is now we're starting to see the impact. The car is finally, you know, it's almost like you see a car crashing, and you can see it happening. And all of a sudden now, the bonnet, front part of the bonnet in slow motion is hitting the rails or the car in front, whatever. And so Evergrande suspended. Huge. Biggest property company in the world, isn't it, I think? And it's collapsed. Share price, suspended. And there's a problem, isn't it? There's a huge problem with China. Is this going to impact, you know, have a massive impact, do you think, on resources, commodities, all that stuff? Because there's something going on there, something imploding slowly. And what will be the fallout, John? You see those pictures sometimes. When you see on TV, they're knocking old buildings down, blowing up old buildings, you know, blocks of flats to regenerate the area. And you see everyone standing around watching, they put dynamite in there and blow it. And all of a sudden, it's so well done that, because they sort of implode. They don't fall over, if it's done properly, of course, they sort of fall in on themselves. It's almost like that's happening. It's very symbolic for the Chinese property market, isn't it, you know?
Well, you're right in that it's a slow motion car crash. I think if this had happened in the West, it would have probably happened much quicker. But the Chinese authorities are well able to manage these things. Evergrande, of course, and others like Country Garden, they have these peculiar names, are enormous by any measure. I mean, the debt pile at Evergrande is about $350 billion. I mean, it is monumentally large. And so it's not an easy problem to solve, even for the Chinese authorities. But China being China and a communist state that it is going to fix things for its population. And it wants lots of people to move into these apartments. It will need to either make them affordable, or it will have to write off, or it will have to extend cheap loans to millions of Chinese people so they can buy these flats. And they've got to do it one way or another, because China simply can't allow its economy to collapse under the weight of Evergrande and Country Garden and others. So it's got to do whatever it takes. Now, I think they're being careful of the enormous weight of debt that China carries, because all that debt has to be serviced one way or another. But I'm sure it is manageable. It just taking up President Xi's time, whilst he's got a few other things on his plate as well. I mean, the great thing is that I think it's very difficult for China to start invading Taiwan or anything crazy like that. And I'm not really sure they want to rush into that kind of thing. Let's hope not, anyway. So I think as soon as the authorities have worked out the correct mechanism for sorting out Evergrande and Country Garden, then I think the real work of rebuilding, refurbishing, refitting these apartments, the millions of apartments that haven't been sold or are waiting for people to move into them, will get underway. And that work will require the input and use of an awful lot of commodities. We're talking copper pipes, all sorts of fixtures and fittings that are required, the appliances, et cetera, et cetera. And actually, this is at a time when the rest of the world is really encouraging China to stimulate local consumption, because China, frankly, hasn't been consuming as much of global products as it should have done. So actually there's another benefit here, is the more people buy these flats, the more people move in, the more consumption they generate, the better that should be for everybody. But as we know, it all requires a sprinkling of cash.
More than a sprinkling. But this is, I think it's deeper than this. The structural problem is deeper than this. I'm reading an article here, and I saw this, I tried to find it again, but just found it now, in Reuters. And this is, listen to this, even China's population of 1.4 billion would not be enough to fill all the empty apartments littered across the country, a former official said on Sunday, in a rare public critique of the country's crisis at property market. Now, he's probably former, and he's probably, you know, I don't know if he's around anymore, but that in itself is nuts. So even if you've got all the people that are living in places, they're not, put them all into houses, there'd still be empty apartments, and they're not finished. What they need to do is almost like maybe knock them all down, just make them bigger, or extend the ones you've got built already, knock two apartments into one, and say the one you bought is now bigger. Isn't that good? At least then you have people moving into them and finishing them, because there's just too many properties there. So they said that at the end of August, the combined floor area of unsold homes stood at 648 million square metres. And that would equal 7.2 million homes, according to Reuters, based on average homes of 90 square metres. And that does not count the new... Anyway, but it's too much already. It's too much.
Many of these apartments were built under the one-child policy. And so they are going to have to remodel these apartments to create extra bedrooms for all the new kids that the government has decided all these families should have.
Yeah.
In order to try and catch up on the damage done to the population by the single-child policy, and the fact that that ran for just simply too long. So it may be that they don't have quite so many apartments at the end of the day, but there's still an awful lot of work to be done. But as we know with China, when there's work to be done, they're very good at getting on with it. And when they get on with it, they consume a lot of commodities in the process. The question for us is just when will they do it?
Yeah. And maybe they should go, I know we scrap the one-child policy, just go to a 10-child policy. 10-child policy! Yeah, that's what we need. To build our population and build more homes, and build even more homes. And the worrying thing is, they say real estate contributes 30% of China's GDP, making it the single biggest contributor to the world's second largest economy. That makes it the most important single global sector of the global economy, and that's according to James McCormack, Fitch's global head of sovereigns, and he told Bloomberg TV. So it's hugely important, isn't it, for the global economy, the property sector. I'm just worried that this, you know, it's unraveling still, and it, you know, when you have a problem the size of that, it takes a long time to unravel before you can start turning it around and going in the other direction. So yeah, it's a little bit worrying, I think, isn't it? But there we are. Okay, on that good news, let's look at some company news. Let's start on, as always, alphabetical. I did talk to Neil Herbert, Executive Chairman of Atlantic Lithium, and they seem to be going in the right direction, don't they? I mean, you know, everything seems to be happening there. All they're waiting for is the mining license, pretty much, and it's good to go, isn't it?
Yes, I think so. I think, and there's lots of news in the press in Ghana about this. Politicians are often a bit slow about signing licenses, and signing, particularly when it comes to mining licenses. There's always a certain amount of debate about how much the government should take. But I think all of this is frankly settled. It's just a question of various government ministers signing on the dotted line. So the lithium project that Atlantic have in Ghana is very good quality. I think they'll get their license, if not within weeks, within a couple of months, hopefully before the end of the year. The project shows a fantastic financial metrics. It's got an IRR of 105%. It's not often that we see something that strong. An NPV of $1.5 billion. It pays back in 19 months, and these guys are ready to roll. There's an awful lot of preparation in place. Keith Miller, the the new CEO. He's an expert at building the dense media separation plants that they will start off with. And he's ready to roll. So just waiting for the minister to sign the license, and off we go.
Yeah, and I can't see the problem. Like I said, things with governments always take long, don't they? You know, always take longer than expected. And the thing is, when you sort of put a timeline on it, you're boxing yourself into a corner because you're guaranteed it will never run at time. But the fact that the Ghana sort of, you know, sovereign wealth fund has invested a decent chunk of money says they've got skin in the game. It's in within their interest to get it done, you know.
No, and that's right, because I was in Ghana a few months ago and we did go and see the Sovereign Wealth Fund and we went to see the ministry. It's called Mincom, Ministry of Mines. And I think they're all very much on board. It's just a question of settling things. And as you say, they had a recent investment from the Ghana Minerals Investment Fund, which is their sovereign wealth fund, of $33 million, which is pretty chunky investment. Yeah. And so, yes, Atlantic, it's all ready to go. It's just a bit surprising that it hasn't quite happened yet.
Yeah. The Ministry of Mines. Is that anywhere near the Ministry of Funny Walks?
It wouldn't be far off.
Okay. Bushveld came up with some, you know, you've always been a fan of Bushveld, and they came up with some results. And what did strike me is the net debt. You know, it's creeping up there, and it's a, you know, revenue of 78.4 million. This is for 6 months ended 30th of June, which is up a tad on 76.2 million. But yeah, the problem is that the net debt has gone up to 90.7 million from 79. So there's an issue there, isn't it?
Yes, it's been a very difficult business to run. They acquired a plant off Evraz, a Russian group, some years ago. It required an awful lot of refurbishment. Then they acquired another vanadium business called Vanchem. Again, it required more cash injection, more refurbishment, and they borrowed money quite expensively, I'm afraid, to do that. They are making profits. They have an EBITDA of $10 million through the period, and operating profit of $2 million. There's a new chief executive in there. He's former finance director from De Beers, well qualified, well respected. He's refinancing the refinancing, so to speak, and you know, getting things, I think, a bit better in order. They've brought in another joint venture group who have effectively a raw material supply from the Highveld smelter. It's the vanadium bearing slag from that, which will help to reduce operating costs at Vanchem. So without getting into all the technicalities of it, yes, this is a business which should be going better. Unfortunately, vanadium prices are not really helping them out at the moment. You could really do with a run in the vanadium price right now. I mean, it was averaging $37 a kilo through the period. It was 47 a year in the first half a year ago for the comparable period. So, you know, that's not really helped them out. They could, but unfortunately, with the way China is at the moment, I just can't see vanadium prices going much higher. Certainly not in the short term. Hopefully, it will go better in the longer term.
Yeah, look at this. So, from Bushveld, right, from January 2017 up until November 18, it did 3,100% upside. And now, from that November in 2018, down where we are now, down 96%.
It, unfortunately, is a very... It's very strongly leveraged to the vanadium price, and management have worked really, really hard to keep the wheels on this one. And vanadium just the pricing hasn't helped them out. The electricity problems with load shedding in South Africa has not been helpful. It's taking longer for vanadium redox batteries to gain traction with local with national grid services. So there's a lot of upside potential. It just isn't happening right now.
Yeah. Okay. Right, and finally, John, Sovereign Metals. Just remind us what Sovereign Metals are all about, Johnny Boy.
Sovereign Metals have a rutile deposit in Malawi, and rutile is a form of titanium feedstock. In fact, it's a very valuable form of titanium mineral. I'll call it feedstock. It's not a mineral sand in this case. In fact, it's a sedimentary deposit, which is effectively a compacted sand, is a way of looking at it. And the world's producers of titanium dioxide, which is mainly used for paint. Some of it is used for titanium metal, but most of it, about 95% of it, goes into paint. And it gives paint the opacity that it needs, particularly white paint. But this is a world-class deposit. It's an extraordinary discovery in Malawi. It's enormous. It has huge scale. It'll probably run for about 60 years as mine. They produced a pre-feasibility study this week. In fact, that came out yesterday. The mine life on that is 25 years. The IRR is 28%, which is quite reasonable. The NPV is $1.6 billion. Rio Tinto recently came in, and they've invested $40.4 million. And, you know, it's my money that Rio's will end up taking this out. So the market cap is £114 million. It's worth a multiple of that, in my view. I'm not sure I should be giving numbers on it, because, well, for various reasons. But let's just say I really think this is, we put a strong buy recommendation on it. We think this is easily worth a lot more money than it's showing in the market right now.
Yeah. So it's SVML Sovereign Metals, and the chart is not doing a lot, is it, really? It's not sort of, why isn't there any interest in this when you think, you know, a big player like Rio are involved? What's the deal? You know, why isn't it getting some interest?
I don't think a lot of people know about it. It's one of those things that's come from nowhere. This is the first set of financials that they've actually put on the project. Rio Tinto did about 9 months of due diligence, so, you know, we're confident that everything's in order. Yeah, I think it's going to prove to be of huge value. There's simply not enough rutile feedstock in the world. Mm-hmm. Companies like Rio Tinto are extremely interested in it, but it's not just Rio. There's a bunch of other offtake groups who'd love to get their hands on this material. Yes, it's a specialist subject. Titanium mineral sands are a bit tricky, unfortunately. But this is a bit of a no-brainer. There's a railway that runs relatively close by, I think, to within about 30k, and that's quite a new railway line that goes down to the port of Nacala in Mozambique. So it'll be pretty easy to get this onto a boat, ship it to wherever it's required, maybe down to Rio Tinto smelters, or perhaps off to other off-takers around the world.
Yeah. One of the PFS highlights, read very well, positioned to become the world's largest rutile producer, like you say. Potentially one of the world's largest natural graphite producers outside of China. Natural rutile facing significant global supply deficit. Natural graphite market moving into deficit as demand rapidly grows. Marvellous. Well, listen, you know, put it on your watch list, everyone. SVML Sovereign Metals. John, have a nice weekend. Speak to you next to Wiki.
Thank you, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. so you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.